Chapter 6 of Mary Daly's Amazon Grace. The title is Quantum Leaping, Ahead/Back to Lost and Found Continent. 2056 BE Bibliophilic Era. To silly women with some experience of intergalactic travel and communication, it will not seem implausible that my naming the four sisters of the past can reignite connections with four sisters of the future. To those who first read Quintessence when it appeared in 2048 BE, Bibliophilic Era, or in subsequent years of this era, it will seem quite natural that this naming can be a kind of conjuring of the inhabitants of Lost and Found Continent in 2056 BE. The morphogenetic resonance of these future feminists is in harmony with the archaic past, and the resonance is cumulative. It is stunning to contemplate the power of such influence/confluence. Realizing this power gives hope to the impossibility of really recognizing the shriveled-up nothingness of patriarchy/snooldom and its minions. If wild women today sense this four-sisterly power, which whirls and spirals from archaic past to archaic future and back around again and again, we can be buoyed up by its spiraling presence and become truly present ourselves in the process of creation. There is great danger, however, that we will fail to seize the moment right now. Some women in the early 21st century, among the many idealistic feminists, have become discouraged by the vituperative foreground, lies, and the hardships heaped upon us, and have almost stopped believing in our own cause. So, do we want to settle for becoming self-pitying, dulled-out dummies, when the archaic future is so close that we can touch it, which is to say, right here? To fail at this time by choosing to lack courage, generosity, faith, and hope is to choose the triumph of evil. Recently, I heard myself howling these words. They were not coming just from me, but also from the winds, think hurricanes, and waters, think floods, think melted permafrost in Alaska, the fires, think forest fires across the U.S. and throughout the rainforests, think drought, and the earth, our mother and sister, who continues to endure the man-made atrocities against herself and her innocent offspring, the soil, the trees, the animals, the children. Think of nuclear holocaust, think of global warming. Feeling a shift in the morphogenetic field, I continue to howl loudly. I don't care who is listening. About to shout even louder, I stop dead in my howling by yet another shift in the field, followed by the sound of a familiar, pleasant voice. You don't have to yell. We're not hard of hearing, and we're wide awake here on the Lost and Found Continent. And of course you do care who is listening. That's why I came to speak with you. You invoked me. Looking up from my computer screen, I saw someone ambling down the path right outside my window. Annie, I exclaimed in a spasm of surprise and joy, how did you get there? By the time I could jump up from my desk and rush outside, I realized that there was actually right here. In other words, I was transported to Lost and Found Continent. To be specific, we were running to greet each other on the path in Annie's garden in 2056 BE. The shock was almost overwhelming. After we hugged and danced around with some of the many animals who were playing in the garden, we sat down on the stone bench under the apple tree and began to speak simultaneously. "Whoa," said Annie. "We're both speaking at the same time. I can't even hear myself." A squirrel hopped up between us and started chattering. "Look," I said. "She seems to be making fun of us." "Okay, you go first, Annie. It seems to be so long since your Anonyma network brought out the 2048 BE edition of Quintessence. I need to get my bearings before I can talk coherently. It's been a rough time back there/then at the end of the 1990s AD and the beginning of the 21st century." Sensing that I was drifting off to sleep, I slid off the bench onto the grass while managing to explain, "I'm exhausted. Hope you don't mind if I lie on the grass here for a while." When I woke up, refreshed from my nap, I found that both Annie and the squirrel had joined me on the grass. Annie had spread a cloth on the ground on which she was assembling an inviting lunch consisting of nuts and berries for the squirrel, who didn't wait for the party to begin formally and began munching right away, together with sandwiches, cakes, apples, and peaches for the rest of us. I then spotted Annie's mother, Kate, hurrying down from her house with a jug of lost and found lemonade and cups for the three of us. "Oh, hello, Kate," I cried out, jumping up to greet her. "It's so wonderful to see you again." We all stood there, beaming at each other blissfully. It took Kate's solid sense of realism to bring us back to Earth, so to speak. "For Juno's sake, let's sit down and enjoy the feast," she commanded. Without another word, we all plunged in. While we lunched for the sandwiches, Kate asked Riley, "Well, Mary, how are things going for you back there slash then before your present trip to Lost and Found?" I choked on my sandwich so loudly that Anne had to pound me on the back. I finally responded, "You know how things were going, generally speaking, Kate, because you were there slash then, at least until just before you and the other members of Anonima Network took off for Lost and Found Continent. Of course, we never crossed paths then, but you know from your own experience what it was like already in the late 20th century. To mention a few details, there was environmental devastation, including land degradation caused by intense agribusiness and other human activities. There was massive deforestation, which, together with a huge rise in carbon dioxide emissions, contributed to atmospheric buildup of carbon and resulted in global warming, known as climate change. This was manifested in phenomena such as floods, droughts, windstorms, raging forest fires, and it just kept getting worse. A number of the animals and women who had been quietly eavesdropping were now visibly and audibly moving closer. The attentiveness of this growing audience spurred me on. Feeling shaken by everything I had just disclosed, I was unable to stop my rapid recitation of environmental horrors. So I went on. In addition to all this was the problem of nuclear waste and radiation. According to the International Atomic Agency, the total global stockpile of spent nuclear fuel in 2000 was nearly 220,000 tons, and it was growing by approximately 10,000 tons each year. Chemical pollution spread virtually everywhere. By the year 2000, pesticides had become between 10 and 100 times more toxic than the 1970s, and it kept on spreading. Since my audience was stunned into silence, I continued. Huge epidemics spread, particularly in Africa. Deaths from HIV/AIDS increased more than sixfold worldwide between 1990 and 2000. Most of these deaths occurred in sub-Saharan Africa. Millions died in Africa from tuberculosis and malaria. Desperately propelled onward by the frozen silence around me, I said, "The problem of freshwater scarcity was the most overwhelming nightmare. In 2002, water shortages killed over 7 million people. 6,000 children died every day from drinking polluted water." Noticing I was becoming exhausted and parched by my grim recitation, Kate poured me some more lemonade. I accepted this gratefully and continued. "In fact, the UN reported that in 2002 about 1.2 billion people worldwide were drinking polluted water, causing hundreds of millions of cases of water-related diseases every year and over 5 million deaths. This amounted to 10 times the number of people killed in wars worldwide." I went on. "One of the most heartbreaking manifestations of the degradation of life on Earth was the decline of biodiversity, which was largely the result of human activities. And, can you believe this, when Annie dropped by my apartment back then slash there slash then just a couple hours ago, I happened to be reading the September 2002 issue of The Ecologist. I had it in my hand when I was whisked over here, and I've kept it with me. See, here it is." In her article entitled State of the Planet, Matilda Lee reports 50 to 100 species are vanishing each day. 100 or I'm sorry, 10,000 times faster than the natural extinction rates, faster than any time in the last 65 million years. Actually, it was probably just after reading this article that I began howling so loudly that Annie heard me and came running. "So here we are again," the three of us all exclaimed together. We were laughing and crying at the same time. I glanced at Annie. I couldn't resist commenting. "Lucky Annie, you weren't even born yet when Kate crossed over to Lost and Found. She was carrying you in utero." Perhaps there was a slightly annoyed tone in my voice, which would be resented by my listener. Anne's astute reply confirmed my suspicion. "It is not my fault that I missed out on all that awful stuff, Mary, as you know very well," replied Annie. She gave me a sharp, impish look. "And wasn't it you, Mary, who named envy as one of the deadly sins of the fathers?" I was remorseful. "You're right," I said. "But I'm deeply glad that you were spared, Annie. I'm also grateful that Kate and I were able to help prepare the way for you and your contemporaries. Perhaps I'm still grumpy from my transtemporal travel and I'm suffering from a sort of jet lag." Annie gave me an odd look. "Jet lag?" she asked. Kate laughed at the anachronism. "I think we had the same time warp discussion back in 2048 BE," she remarked. "Let's just go on. No need to repeat tedious explanations, right?" The squirrel, Annie's devoted friend, who had been waving her tail in my face in a rather insulting manner during this recent interchange, resumed eating her nuts. I attempted a brief speech. "I don't know if you can even guess how thankful I am to all you future four sisters and four familiars for your support, especially throughout recent years," I said. "There's one especially vivid memory that has stayed with me since my last visit here in 2048 BE. I was sitting with many of you on Lost and Found Beach. Innumerable animals had come along with us, and we were engaged in intense discussion. Remember?" "We sure do," exclaimed Annie and Kate, who were now joined by a growing number of Lost and Found animals and women who had rushed over to our picnic and remembering session. "It was then when you made your absolutely stunning comment, Annie, which gave me and many other women hope during the past 7 years back there slash then," I said. "I have your words memorized, and they are printed in quintessence, as you know. I just happened to have your copy of the 2048 BE edition with me," said Annie. Everyone laughed, and Kate commented on her daughter's modesty. Not at all deterred by this friendly ridicule, Annie stood up holding the book. "You're probably referring to my comment, which is on page 236, she remarked. After I nodded in agreement, Annie read in a strong, clear voice the following words. "I'd like to get back to our original discussion of how we, as your future four sisters, can help you and your cronies now," I said. "I guess it would be helpful if we communicate the fact that you are not a cognitive minority, as you may have imagined yourselves to be. After all, we are here, as are four sisters of more ancient patriarchal times and from the archaic past. Seen in this wide transtemporal context, you belong to the cognitive majority." Annie then closed her copy of Quintessence and took a deep bow in my direction. As she briskly made her way back to her place in the grass, the women, monkeys, and seals in the audience signaled their approval with loud applause. Various other creatures meowed, barked, howled, oinked, mooed, bleated, roared, neighed, hissed, chirped, trilled, and whistled. Three large hens cackled, two kookaburras laughed. The laughter was contagious. Almost uncontrollably, we women laughed with them. After a moment of calm silence, we recalled our great celebration on Lost and Found Beach several years before, when we all realized that the animals belong to and are the cognitive majority, together with plants, rocks, planets, stars, angels, and all bibliophilic things. Beings. "It was then that the animals made it clear that our soul's work is their soul's work too," said Annie. "And it was the animals who announced that we have already won. Remember how we all telepathically heard and joined in their chorus singing, 'We have overcome.' These are all ecstatic and vivid memories from 2048 BE, Annie continued. But Mary, I am extremely curious to know more about your own experiences and perceptions of life back there, slash then, between 1998 and 2006, archetypal dead time. I'm glad you're pressing me on this issue of communication, Annie, I replied. I do feel strange about the fact that I have not been here in this way for a while, but as you know, that is just a detail. In the most essential ways, we are always in communication. We are always present to each other. As future four sisters, you draw us, my cronies and me, to your electromagnetic field. And you yourselves are affected by four sisters of the past. Right on, said Kate. And that raises some issues that I think it's important to clarify. Okay, let's get started, I said with my usual bluntness, while I offered a small bite of cake to the appreciative squirrel. How about a short break before we begin? Asked Anne, jumping from her place on the grass. We all began to move and stretch. Even the snakes and turtles seemed to be doing their own kind of aerobics. As we stretched our legs and chatted briefly, there was a general sense of excitement and anticipation. Some birds chattered amongst themselves, and a few monkeys began swinging from the trees. A huge white mare reared up on her hind legs and neighed loudly. To each her own mode of self-expression, laughed Kate. I'll drink to that, said Annie, sipping from a bottle of wine that was being passed around. The number and variety of Anonima Network women engaged in this conversation increased. I recognized several immediately. Among them I spotted Sung-hee, Miyoko, and Nasrin, with whom I'd had great conversations during the memorable visits in 2048 BE. We all rushed over to greet one another. Next, Anawa, Annie's fiery friend of African descent, came sauntering over, characteristically carrying a notebook and pen. Hi, Anawa, I said. Still the impassioned scholar, I see. Absolutely, Anawa agreed, waving her notebook and smiling broadly. You have no idea, Mary, interrupted Annie. You'll have to see the mountains of notebooks and manuscripts she has filled with her research and reflections on the life and influence of Sojourner Truth. We had to build a special structure to house her library and writings over the last 5 years. Ah, shucks, laughed Anawa. Ain't I a genius? She's coy and modest, just like me, said Annie. But honestly, Mary, you've written repeatedly about elemental feminist genius. So what can you expect? Of course we have big heads. Right, we raised a whole generation of big heads here, said Sophie, Anawa's mother, who came along walking arm in arm with Kate. The two friends had made the original voyage over to Lost and Found Continent together in 2018 BE and were inseparable ever after, as were their daughters. I was thrilled then at the familiar sight of the wondrous wolf Fenrir and the supernatural background animal who was the familiar slash graceful friend of Annie, whom I had first met in 2048. Fenrir came lopping over to me, joyously swishing her beautiful tail. I felt greatly honored when she licked my face and allowed me to put my arms around her neck. At the sight of Annie's wolf friend, my own feline familiars, Cottie and her four sisters, my four familiars, Wildcat and Ale-Og, who had sneaked along behind me on this quick trip to Lost and Found Continent, scampered out from their hiding place behind a nearby bush. When all four of these spirited animals immediately danced around together, licking each other joyously. At a signal from Annie, everyone took her place on the grass and breathlessly waited for our next discussion to begin.